Hello, welcome to the show brought to you by the YFC or Youth Advocates for Change. And we're so happy to be back. I think this is episode 6 for us. And for those of you that are new to the show, the YFC or Youth Advocates for Change is a group of young adults from across the United States helping to promote the transition from school to adult life for the Ray Center, which is a project of SPAN, which focuses on supporting parent centers across the United States to support young adults and their families within that special education transition process. And I'm really, really excited to bring this episode to you. And really, we'll say this is the beginning of a new series for us. I think we did some episodes last year and then took some time off, just trying to think where we would go next. And the focus of the next set of episodes that we have that you'll be getting every month up through almost Christmas or around, actually, you know what it'll be, Valentine's Day. They'll be around conversations that youth and young adults have had with people around different things like dating and employment, independent living. And then we're going to touch on some stuff around intersectionality too on some episodes. So, but today we're going to talk about disclosing your disability to a coworker. So we're not talking about people getting accommodations on the job, or going through that official process of the interactive process for accommodations. We're talking about sharing about your disability with someone new, whether that be a friend at work or a friend at a place that you went to visit, things like that. And the reason why we're choosing to do this is that this episode is going to be released in October, which is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And so we thought this would be kind of cool and appropriate for today's podcast. And so with me, though, I have three amazing panelists, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves, say where they're from, and then tell you why the Youth Advocates for Change has been so awesome for them. So I'm going to go to our podcast newbie. You haven't seen or heard him before. Atif, you wanted to introduce yourself, please.
Hi everyone, my name is Adib. I'm from New York and my disability is cerebral palsy. The reason why I joined the YFC is that I wanted to get my voice out there and help other people advocate and get their needs met.
Yeah, thanks, Atif, and welcome to the podcast party, pal. We're so glad to have you. And Jennifer,
Thank
I know you've
you.
done a couple of these now, but do you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, my name is Jennifer. I am over in California, and the disabilities I'll be focused of mine I'll be focused on today are autism, ADHD, and pseudo seizures.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that, Jennifer. And Aaron, who has been really, really busy these past couple of days. How are you tonight?
Good. So I'm Erin. I'm in the middle of everyone in Minnesota. And today I'll be talking heavily about the experience of being a wheelchair user in the workplace, which isn't always easy because it's very obvious and people have their preconceived ideas. And I would say one of my favorite parts about being part of the YAFC is just sharing our experiences and really creating that community that we all need. So.
Yeah, we really do. We really do love doing this podcast. It's a labor of love. It was actually like, what do we do now? Now that we've done some episodes, what else can we do? And so I'm really, really excited to kind of kick this off a little bit. And I just so Aaron, I'll go to you first. Can you talk about wh where you've worked and like I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. Discuss like where have you worked and what has it been like for you on the job in terms of like interacting with your disability and people that are just on the job? So not like your boss, I'm talking like coworkers and things like that. Has it ever been awkward, since the theme of this is awkward conversations, right?
Yeah, so ironically, I won't say where I work specifically, but as we all know, a big thing that happened with me lately is I opened a hospital yesterday, and it was a psychiatric hospital, and so it was a super big deal, and a
Well,
lot of the
let's just
people
say you do marketing for a place that opened a hospital. You didn't open your own. Or was it, or is it yours? I don't know.
It could be. Yeah. Okay. So at this point, I put so much work in, I consider it my baby. So
it's yours. I get it.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So I do communications and marketing. So I did a lot of work on this and it was just a super long process. But anyway, so I think an interesting part about that is that I work, you know, within a national organization. And so a lot of the work that I do is actually work from home. Meanwhile, I go into the office for certain things for our locations based in Minnesota. But the funny thing is that most people who I work with who are national came into this grand opening and didn't realize I was a wheelchair user. So it was like that weird kind of like breaking out of the, you know, team screen. And they're like, oh my God, that's Aaron, you know, like, and so it was this kind of like maybe weird reality check for them that it's like, you shouldn't just assume someone is able-bodied. And so I think that's kind of an interesting conversation in itself. So I think that I would put in a very awkward situation type thing. Not that it was awkward for me, but I think some people you could kind of tell that they were kind of grasping at like what to say exactly.
Sure, sure. And let me ask this. So how did you, well, I feel like this is almost like serendipitous. This happened like today or yesterday. How did you handle the awkwardness, or how do you handle that awkwardness?
Yeah, I think like one thing I'm really good at is like, I know how to talk to people and make them laugh. So I think like once I could kind of see that body language or kind of feel like, oh, are you Aaron? Because they recognize my voice and my face, but they're like, oh, the 400-pound wheelchair doesn't necessarily match the face and what I had in my head. It's kind of like, okay, like I'll kind of break the conversation talking about, oh, wow, this has been so much work, hasn't it? And then throwing in kind of a joke. And I think that can really lighten the mood in a lot of different circumstances with disability. So I think that's a good tactic
too. Yeah, and Atif, you are also a chair user. So is...
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do to break down those barriers when people are just awkward about talking about your disability in any space?
You know what it is? Let me be honest. You know what it is? Because people look at you, but when they hear you speak and see your vocabulary and see the way you gauge conversation, they're like, okay, wow. And I'm sure Aaron had the same experience. They're like, oh, yes. They see you in the wheel. They're like, oh, really? Oh, I feel so sorry for you. But then when they see you like present yourself for like verbally, they're like, okay, wow, okay, this is really, they get shocked. And then I'm like, oh, at least get to know me before like judging me because I'm in a stupid chair. Like, come on.
Yeah, well, it's so funny, and I know, Jennifer, you're not a chair user, so this might not resonate with you, and it may, but I know for wheelchair users, like I am also, like I feel like this remote work time is awesome because we don't have to really, like, it's not out there. Aaron is just doing marketing and communications for this place and now has been doing it for months and is now talking with these people for the first time in person, and so they didn't even have that barrier that Atif's talking about, that is people making assumptions about your ability level and it really or your what you're able to bring to the table. And I think before I get to Jennifer, can I ask you, before we started recording, you were mentioning people kind of downplaying your capabilities and what you could do for a job or not do. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so when I first started out, like, looking for a job or, like, having interest in employment, a lot of people were like, you could be a greeter because what else are you going to do? And you can't physically do anything else, so you could be a greeter. There's nothing else you can do. And that, like, really, like, pissed me off because I have gone to the store, like many different stores, and seeing the way greeters are looked at. And the way they're looked at is not great. And then like the customers come up to you, they feel sympathetic for you. They start crying. And they're like, oh, take these few dollars, God bless you. I hope you feel better, because they think like your disability is like some type of sickness.
and that can happen and that can happen with coworkers or just people on the street. And I think that for some people, a greeter position is.
And also, sorry,
because
my brother, my twin brother, you know, most of you know him that part of why I see, but because he also was with Josie and Mace. But he last summer, he did an internship at a store in a mall. He was like a greeter or whatever, and like one lady just came up to him, hugging him and crying, and like giving him money, and it made him really uncomfortable. So I know I could do much more than just being a greeter, right. Like.
Sure, and so when for some people like. A greeter position is what they want to do because they want a low stress job. It fits what they want to do.
But
I think sometimes when that's the only option that's presented to you, it can feel like, don't you understand what my capabilities are? And I guess Atif, I mean, I wasn't thinking to get into this conversation now, but now that you mentioned this, how do you handle those moments when people do feel bad and want to show sympathy for you and they walk up to you and your brother? Like, do you handle that with humor? Do you tell people
I just back off,
or what do you do with that?
You know, I'm not a rude person and I don't want to be rude, but sometimes like it's hard to keep it cool, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just get very snappy. And it's disrespectful, but at the end of the day, I'm tired of dealing with crap.
Sometimes, yes. As an advocate, it gets to be exhausting, I think, sometimes. And I think it's not always easy to be the bigger person all the time. Yeah. And Aaron, does that resonate with you too? And I know, Jennifer, you're...
Yeah, Aaron, what do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, I think it can depend. I mean... There's days where, of course, you have a million things going on and being nice or thoughtful to someone is always the first thing that comes to mind. But I think in those circumstances, like, I've had people come up to me and kind of ask those, like, annoying questions. Like, especially, like, if I have my service dog, too, it's just kind of like a three-ring circus that they have to ask questions about. And sometimes I just say, like, hey, I'm here really quick and I don't have time to answer your questions. And then you just kind of move on. And I think that that's good to kind of, like, set those boundaries with yourself as well and just kind of like check in with yourself about when it's appropriate.
Yes. And then you can kind of gauge for yourself when the right time is to maybe answer those questions that you would be okay answering, but not when I'm in the middle of like trying to eat my lunch or like do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Jennifer, I know that, you know, with you have three wheelchair users on this call. So I feel like that's a vibe for us, that interaction of like awkwardness around people that you work with or people that you see on the street. It's like people are always just, we're always seeking to make them feel comfortable. So
yeah.
Can you tell me how that's different for someone in your
situation? Having an invisible disability is very different. And maybe a little bit, I'll discuss what that would look like when I was working fast food. But currently I work in a residential healthcare setting. So I am assumed to be fully abled a lot of the times. Disabled. And it's a lot of my coworkers make that assumption, and it's an interesting and sometimes very sad insight into what they view disability as. I mostly want to talk about, I have pseudo seizures, right? That's just what's one thing that I brought up at the beginning. And when I hear pseudo seizures talked about in terms of the residents, the people that we serve, by my coworkers, it is very uncomfortable a lot of times. It's like, I'm seeing their ableism shine through in a conversation where they didn't think they maybe had to mask that. And it's a very uncomfortable conversation. And there are times that in order to I have to make that decision a lot. It's like, am I going to disclose my own health issues in order to correct them? And where am I going to draw that line? And I lean on micro disclosures a lot at work. It's like, I'm not going to run down a list of all of my health issues, all of my disabilities, but I'm going to micro disclose and say, like, this is, because it's important as an advocate for not just myself, but for the people that I'm serving, that my coworkers understand when they're being ableist.
And can you talk about the word micro disclose and because I would venture to guess that while people know about disclosure, I don't know if they would know what that means. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I might do a micro disclosure.
I mean, like, what is that concept, Jennifer? Like, when you say micro disclose, can you explain what that is?
Instead of saying, hey, I have ADHD and this, and I have this disability and that disability, and listing out all of my stuff, I just say, hey, I struggle with audio processing sometimes. So, like, or actually, I'm going to write that down so I don't forget. Or I just need to be moving around a little bit. Like, I'm still doing work.
Sure.
And so describing a symptom, I don't like that word, but describing a symptom as like, hey, this is the thing about me, without necessarily ascribing the word disabled to it. Because a lot of people, a lot of times because of their ableism, or just because of their unfamiliarity, ascribe a certain attitude when you say I'm disabled. And if you just say, hey, this is a thing about me, they will react very differently, which isn't great, but is something that is useful to know. So, so that's how micro disclosures have been very useful for me.
For me, it's almost like Atif and I have the same disability. We both have cerebral palsy, right? So people can see that I'm in the chair, but they might not realize like I have some fine motor things. So I will do that too, like in certain spaces. Like if I need help to like, I don't know, open a jar or like, you know, we're all having coffee or something. And the worst thing to make me do is try to pour some coffee, right? So I'm like, how do I ask these people to help me with this when they assume that I can, right? And so those micro disclosures can be really, really helpful that way. So let me ask this, and I'll go to Jennifer first this time. When do you decide that someone that you're working with or someone that you're getting to know can start to know more?
So when I first started my job,
what your situation is. Yeah.
When I first started my job, I relied entirely on micro disclosures. I didn't want to say to my coworkers, specifically my coworkers, my supervisor, I vaguely let know. But I didn't say to my coworkers that I've had any disability at all. And eventually I decided that I was going to, as sort of like a message to my coworkers, be open that I was disabled, but not share the specifics unless it was very relevant. And it has made some people uncomfortable, I think. And it's also led to other coworkers who might also have a disability to talking more about it with me, which has been great because then there's that understanding that there was not a judgment and we're just going to meet each other's needs where we're at.
Yeah,
in a way
you're
that,
building community that way, right? You're building.
I don't think like there's coworkers who I wouldn't necessarily feel who I feel comfortable asking something for my needs that I wouldn't ask a coworker who maybe didn't know I was disabled because there'd be just too much mental energy to explain why I need that and too much risk there, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But I also work in a very specific environment of like, we're in a healthcare setting. So we all In theory, we all know what it is to help someone who has a disability and to like not be ableist. In theory, we all have like a crash course in that.
Sure.
So, but also seeing how my coworkers interact with the people around them, the residents who they have power over, also influences how I talk to my coworkers.
That's a very interesting dynamic. Because I was going to ask Aaron, in the sense of like, Jennifer talked about how when you share things about your disability, how it can, and then other people do, it like opens up that community dialogue where like there's a little bit of like walls come down. And I have personally found that like I'm a person that's really good at making those walls come down for people. And I think it's in part because I'm sitting down, right? Like, do you find that that's like a superpower of yours also? And do you actually use it on purpose? Do you know?
Like talking about disability openly kind of thing.
But just like being so, having to be so open allows other people that may not be have a disability, or they do, just to be more open with you. So then you get people telling you their life story, you know, what they did for last weekend.
Right, like all that. And I think that's a very true thing. I think like with any community that's had any amount of struggle, is that if I've learned anything, even in the office and outside of the office, is that I feel like I can connect with people on a deeper level who have had, you know, some of those struggles. For example, like my coworker identifies as part of the LGBTQIA community. And like, I helped him with a lot of pride stuff. And I started talking about how, like, I want to bring pride, like disability pride, to Minneapolis, for example. And he was like all on board, because we almost like understood each other from the fact of like all these barriers that we have to deal with as part of these populations. And so it's almost like this trust, you know, that you gain and kind of like make that connection with other people. And I think that that can be a super valuable thing. And so it's like a unique thing that kind of like brings down everyone's barriers. And it's just like, or not barriers, but like those walls, like you mentioned. And it's a way to almost build community outside of the disability community, because you can all come together with these struggles and try to come up with solutions, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I heard a couple of different strategies brought up, like micro disclosures and using that, but then also finding a way when it might be appropriate to have those conversations, but then also realizing that disability is part of diversity and you can really build community across things. So it does. And you can help people be less awkward by actually embracing the awkward conversations, right? Where it's like, Aaron works on Zoom, and all of a sudden we're in Minneapolis together, and here we are, right? Here it is, and there she is. Oh, I didn't realize that. You can see their brain processing, like, oh, right? And so, but you kind of embrace that, and you realize that you can help bring people together that way. So, with that being said, as we kind of like think about wrapping this up, is there any, Atif, is there any general advice you would have for youth and their families when it comes to sharing about your disability with people on the job or otherwise? Is there any advice that you would give about sharing information about your disability and yourself?
If you want me to be really, really honest, try to build a relationship with them, but don't just go up to them and just like on day two and be like, oh, this is my life story, this is my blah, 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 blah. Don't do that, because that's how you end up getting hurt at the end. Any of your personal disability or your personal life with them until you feel like you have a really good bond with them. Because at the end of the day, it is a professional environment, and it's that stuff that you might tell them might sour your workspace.
Mm-hmm. So building relationships, that seems to be a big theme about this, right? Is building relationships. What else were you going to say, Atif?
And also that might go against you in a way. It might go against you in a way, because then co-workers might talk to other co-workers about you. It would be an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, so finding that bond first. Jennifer, what do you say to what would you say to youth and families who are discussing this idea? Because we have so many families that I've heard say things like, I don't even tell my child they have a disability, so how are they supposed to tell someone else? So what kind of advice, Jennifer, would you give
around disclosing? First off, tell your child.
Right? I'm just saying that's where some people are, right? It's like, I don't even want my kid to know.
As a quick aside, knowing you have a disability is, as a child, is only going to give you more tools. It's not going to take anything away. It's just going to give you more tools. And the only thing that is going to take your power away in knowing that you have a disability is the ableism of people around you in reacting to that knowledge, which is a lead into what I'm about to say for my on the job thing, which is, when you are telling people, whether that be a micro disclosure or you're fully telling them or through whatever lens, you got to do it decisively. You got to make a decision to do it or not do it in those moments. It can't, like, it's got to be a thing that you think about this and like, okay, in this moment, I am making the choice to disclose this amount of information. And it could be everything and it could be a micro disclosure, but you're making that choice consciously. Sure.
And Aaron, what would you say to give advice? So I have building relationships and then kind of thinking about how far you want to go and then committing to that choice, right? And I think that takes some level of like understanding, right? And some self-awareness. So what would you say? Anything else to add?
Yeah, I think like I had a super good point, but of course it left my mind. So hopefully,
sorry, Aaron.
No, you're good.
Maybe I'm a bad host. I don't know.
No, you're good. But I think it's one of those things too that I think about. You know, we kind of talk about the people that, you know, we interact with, but I think an important part of it is talking about like the workplace culture, because when you think about, oh, I remembered what I was going to say, actually. So what I was going to say is that we're just not there in like the workforce to openly talk about a disability and it not being something that works against you. So I think
exactly. I totally agree with that. Like, awesome. That's what I was saying earlier.
It's not your job to do this all the time, right? It's not, you're not there to just be sharing information.
Just because my appearance doesn't mean I have to share my own little bit of my life with you. Like,
right.
That's not my purpose why I'm there, no.
Right. Yeah. What were we going to say? Go ahead. What else were you going to say? Sorry.
No, you're good. And then I would just say, like, with that being said, since we're not there, is kind of like bringing it all together, really, is just talking about like, you know, you will build relationships with people on the job that you probably never will share too much just because you know that it probably won't be beneficial to you and it may interfere with what you do in the workplace. And that's not cool either. Mm-hmm. But then you'll also find a bunch of people where you do like really, you know, connect with them and you can have a meaningful, you know, relationship where they like respect you as, you know, your disability is part of your human experience. And so I think like when it comes to advice for youth and even families thinking about, you know, working and kind of that transitional time is thinking about workplace culture. And if you can, you know, just even looking into what their workforce looks like. Is it diverse? Do they have, you know, initiatives to help support their employees? I think that can be something a little actionable that you can do to just, you know, bring some of that awareness to yourself before you like commit to applying or being part of it.
Yeah, I think, and I think that as we wrap up, one of the things I'll say that kind of resonates with all of this is that I think so many transition-based programs will focus on what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do when you get older? What do you want to do when you get older?
Yeah.
And they focus less on what kind of environment do you want to be in? And people always say that when you're doing an interview or when you're at a job, that you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you and all of that. But like, it really does help people in general, people with disabilities or otherwise, to think about where they're going to be and if the culture fits who you are. That's a big one, because I know Aaron, with your job, we literally talked about that, about these places you were interviewing and now you work at, that you were literally going to places and being like, this doesn't feel right to me, or this one does, or this one didn't. I remember you saying that before. Yeah. And that really matters, and it actually makes disclosing so much easier if you feel like you're in the right kind of space. And so thank you to the three of you for sharing this very great information.
Yeah,
and being
absolutely.
So open being so open and honest, and being so forthcoming. And I really, really appreciate it. I hope that people like this episode. Thank you all. And we'll see you for our next episode, which will be very, very soon. And for those of you that celebrate, happy National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And we'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.